Previously on This Sounds Serious.
When the mandala ended, people were really upset. I mean, just losing it.
It was quite possibly the most confusing case I've ever been a part of.
Oh, we'd play pranks all the time. That's what you do as twins.
Chuck was a rare talent. I mean, everyone liked him, you know?
He needed a platform where he could shine by himself.
Chuck's gonna be a weatherman?
He's doing a U-turn on the 5, and he's speeding back towards the 22. He's running a red light, and another cross-section, and oh, he's off the road now.
It's something we take for granted now.
He's getting out, he's climbing out of the car right now, and he's trying to escape on foot.
But helicopter footage of crimes in progress and high-speed chases is a relatively recent phenomenon.
And the police dog's taking him down now. Oh, he's biting his face. You don't like seeing that. This guy's gonna need a new face.
And the reason I'm telling you this is because a helicopter is what created the opportunity for Chuck Bronstad to join the WQOO news team in 1994.
Oh boy, 1994, that was the year that pretty much every TV station in America got a helicopter.
That's Ken Shaw.
I was a news director at WQOO TV in Orlando, Florida from 1988 till I retired in 2014. And in 1994, that's when OJ happened. White Bronco, Al Cowlings. He's in the back of the Bronco. He's got, like, you know, pictures of his kids, stuff like that. I think he was crazy. Everyone's watching this. Everyone's glued to their screens. What's remarkable is nothing happened.
One thing we have been noticing is it's a bit of a slow pursuit. The highway patrol don't want to intimidate him into doing anything rash.
It was a low-speed chase. This is where that term comes from. Now you hear it probably once every 3 years. But before then, we didn't have a term, low-speed chase. It was all high-speed chases. So this was innovative.
From that point on, it was clear to every news director in the country that if you didn't have a helicopter, you may as well not even have a news broadcast. So that summer, the WQOO news team unveiled Chopper Q.
When news happens fast, WQOO Eyewitness News takes you to the scene. Our eye in the sky, Chopper Q.
And manning the chopper was veteran weatherman Tanner Austin.
A new kind of reporting from a name you can trust.
Tanner Austin here over the scene of the crime. Tanner Austin here reporting live above the fire at Winter Park Village. Tanner Austin here getting the bird's eye view above the American Girl Store.
Your eye in the sky, Tanner Austin.
Oh, yeah!
The truth is, when the Chopper Q opportunity came along, everybody wanted that spot. I mean, it was like All About Eve on steroids. If you're not familiar with that movie, it's worth a rental. You really should go check it out. I'm assuming you're familiar with steroids. And I just had to pick Tanner, you know, he was my guy. He was a head weatherman for most of the 80s, early 90s. And the interesting thing about Tanner was he wasn't a trained meteorologist. He did not go to any kind of weather school. He was a real reporter. You know, he was good. He was a news hound.
And with Tanner Austin out, that meant there was an opening for WQOO's new head weather reporter.
And we want to give a warm WQOO welcome to our new meteorologist making his debut today, Chuck Bronstad. Hi, Chuck.
It would be Chuck's first big weather job.
And hello, Orlando.
But also his last. It's This Sounds Serious, the case of Daniel Bronstad, a CastBox original. I'm your host, Gwen Radford. On this show, we are trying to uncover the details of the life of Daniel Bronstad, the most intriguing 911 caller I've ever heard. In this episode, the final years of meteorologist Chuck Bronstad as a husband, a brother, and a rising star in the media scene of Orlando, Florida. This episode will take us to the end of the pre-call period of the story, all the way up to the 911 call itself.
We'll be right back.
When Chuck Bronstad started out as WQOO's chief meteorologist, maybe he knew that he'd soon be one of the biggest celebrities in Orlando. But he couldn't have imagined that within a few years he'd be divorced and living with his estranged twin Daniel. Or that a few years after that, he'd be murdered, drowned in his own waterbed. All he knew was that his career was taking off and quit.
Weather. Okay, Chuck, what is that that you are doing over
there? Okay, well, thank you so much, Amelia. It's called the Macarena. And I don't know if you know what this is, but I'm gonna try to do two things at once here. It might come back to haunt me. You put your hands over here near Daytona and Gainesville, where it's 82 and 80 degrees today. And then your hands on your shoulders near up near Jacksonville, where it's 74 and cloudy, but that's gonna burn off this afternoon.
Chuck was just, he was the coolest, you know? He was like, I don't know, a combination of Elvis Presley and Gene Rayburn.
And jump, hey, that's the weather.
I mean, where do you come up with this?
Never before had there been a weatherman who was so plugged into pop culture, into the youth culture. I would look at him and be like, dang, I'm just finding out what this thing is from Chuck, you know? Within months, Chuck was the top weatherman in Orlando.
How's it going, Chuck? So, you got all your Christmas shopping done?
Well, ho, 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 Amelia. Hi, and yes, I have, actually. It was a short list this year. Had to actually get something pretty nice for my wife this year. Get back on her good list, as it were. And then, of course, for myself, I'm hoping to get one of those Tamagotchis.
Oh.
Have you heard of those?
No, what is that?
Well, it's a robot pet that lives in an egg.
And so yeah, Chuck was always very cool on the air, but it's funny, you know, off the air, he got a bit nervous. So before we would go live, he would always go, come on, Chucky boy, come on, Chucky boy, you know, to psych himself up. It was actually pretty cute.
That's Amelia Cruz, WQOO news anchor, while Chuck was chief meteorologist.
Pretty soon after Chuck arrived, we went from being third place in the ratings to first. I mean, okay, you can't give Chuck all the credit, okay? I had a special bond with the audience, too.
Oh, it was all Chuck. I mean, absolutely, without question.
Of course, that's Daniel Bronstad, Chuck's twin brother. I've noticed whenever he speaks about Chuck, you can tell he's proud of his brother's accomplishments, even when he's talking about the time they were apart. Remember, Daniel wasn't around as Chuck's career began to take off. He was allegedly a member of the mysterious Central Florida cult, the Mandala.
I mean, you don't go from, you know, last place to first place overnight because of, you know, Amelia's leads or because of what Howard Sinclair was reading about entertainment. I don't think so. It was all Chuck. You know, I mean, he just had that face for weather. It was destination viewing. You know, people couldn't wait to see if there was going to be rain. And if there was, well, now, how was Chuck going to play that? You know, would it be hail in the north? And if so, you know, was Chuck going to tease us with it? Or was he just going to slap out that there'd be golf ball size hail coming down our cars? It was that whole dance. Chuck was very, very good at that. You know, and he took it very seriously.
Well, thank you very much, Amelia. I'm here at the Central Florida Fairgrounds, where we're expecting just a beautiful night for something called Lilith Fair. Now, as you can see, I've got my Birkenstocks on, and my nose pierce is healing nicely. And I can assure you, ladies, that I didn't shave my armpits either.
Ken Shaw has a different explanation for Chuck's success.
We think of a news broadcast as a sandwich, okay? So the anchors are the bread. Got to have bread or it's not a sandwich. Stories are the meat of the sandwich. Sports, I'm going to say they're tomatoes. Weather is supposed to be the lettuce. Women like it, but nobody else does. It's not too exciting. It's crunchy. But suddenly, the lettuce is the reason for our news sandwich becoming popular? It doesn't make sense. The difference was, our lettuce was young and cool and handsome. It was like if you found out a sandwich had Christian Slater lettuce. You'd want to watch that sandwich every night at 6 o'clock.
Over there at the Orpheum.
Does that make sense?
Downtown. Hey, Chuck.
Well, hello, Amelia. Or should I say... Now, you're probably wondering at home, well, now, Chuck, why do you have a garbage can? Well, that's because I'm here in front of the Orpheum Theater to talk to a couple of handsome fellas who are here doing a touring show of a new musical called Stomp. Now, it comes to us from Australia, but I know what you're thinking, Amelia. Don't worry, it's good. So, fellas,
while Chuck was riding high on the air, his personal life was another story. Chuck's wife, Karen, was working as a nurse in the emergency room of the Orlando Regional Medical Center.
We both worked long hours. I was happy for him. I really was. But, like, the good day for me was when I could help a dad survive a car wreck so he could live to see his kids grow up. A good day for Chuck was when he could predict a week without rain.
Karen says the more frustrated she grew with the situation, the more distant Chuck became. He was so wrapped up in his success that he couldn't see, or he didn't care, that he and Karen were growing apart.
People assume it's a dream come true being married to a weatherman. You're with someone who's handsome and charming, and you always know if you should leave the house with a jacket. But the reality is that every disgraceful woman in town wants to stick it to your husband.
She says she never found any hard evidence of him doing anything wrong. But he would often go for drinks with his coworkers after the 11 o'clock news.
Oh, and there were always women hanging around. I mean, Florida is famous for two kinds of women. Old retired ladies and young beach babes. Guess which kind hangs out at the bars at midnight? Both.
A number of Orlando broadcasters have told me about this phenomenon. Female admirers would descend on the bars that surrounded every TV station right as the 11 o'clock news was ending. They called them news groupies.
Yes, news groupies are a thing, especially weather groupies.
That's Jackson Gage, retired meteorologist from WROP.
Well, in fact, we called them sun bunnies. There always seemed to be more of them out on sunny days. Sometimes we would even embellish the forecast to get a little bit more sun on the board. The more sun you could put up on the map, the more women would want to buy you a drink. In many ways, the drier it was, the wetter it was, if you know what I mean.
Chuck and Karen separated in 2000. Remember, early on in their marriage, Karen had unknowingly shared some romantic moments with Chuck's twin brother, Daniel. And these incidents proved more difficult to overcome than the couple anticipated. In 2000, Chuck had no parents, no wife, and with Daniel still allegedly a member of the Mandela cult, no brother. He found himself alone for the first time in his life. That happens to most people at some time or another, but you have to imagine it's especially difficult for a twin. A lifetime of having someone who knows you so well, you don't even have to say anything. Someone who understands you and has an innate ability to feel your pain. And then you're all by yourself, without a partner, just your thoughts bouncing around your head. Chuck moved out of his home with Karen and into the penthouse suite in the Baldwin Palms condo development in Orlando's ultra-exclusive Baldwin Park neighborhood. But within a few weeks, Daniel was back.
Chuck and I hadn't spoken in about 5 years. And something inside me, call it a twin stink, told me I just got to reach out and find Chuck. And I found myself knocking on what was an 11-foot door of a condominium. And I'll tell you what, when he opened that giant, giant door, I knew instantly, you know, the brothers were back together. And you should have seen this pad. I mean, Chuck's bachelor pad was off the hizook.
Floor to ceiling windows over here. Have you ever seen this? A carpet roof. Isn't that cool?
It really was. You have to remember, this was the time of MTV Cribs. So you knew Chuck sort of had to step up his game. And he did. Grecian columns, leather sofas everywhere. The kitchen had four islands. And one of them was actually surrounded by water. A literal island.
I mean, look at this. Every single room has a microwave oven.
And one of the things that sort of stood out to me was that in the master bathroom, there were two toilets facing each other. And I just, although Chuck never said it, I knew then in Chuck's mind, if he ever found the right Mrs. Bronstadt, not Karen, that nothing would make Chuck happier than to be sitting on his toilet while she sat across from him on her toilet, knees touching, just going over the day's news and what they'd each been up to. Well, they took care of their business. They actually call that a Dutch toilet. It's a European way of bathrooming.
The way Daniel puts it, they were having the time of their lives.
We were living the high life, you know, pulling in chicks, and we were famous. You know, people would call us the Weather Twins.
No, nobody called them that. Who told you that? No, only one of them was a weatherman.
But I have to wonder, was Chuck happy? Sure, in all the news footage, he's got his unforgettable smile. But I wonder if it was just painted on to hide some other pain. Doesn't it seem really sudden to go from being completely estranged from his twin brother for 5 years to sharing a condo with him? And everybody describes Chuck's tremendous work ethic, studying the weather at all hours, spending prolonged shifts at the station. But what was Daniel doing all day?
But, you know, at some point I realized, well, Chuck's doing all the labor, and here I am just kind of sitting a bug on a log waiting for the next piece of tail to land on my lap. And I decided, you know, I got to do something. So my background, of course, was managing music. So I said, well, maybe Chuck needs a manager. And that's when it happened. I started managing Chuck. And because a weatherman is not a legitimate journalist, they can do endorsements.
The sales staff at Central Florida Toyota made buying my Toyota Tacoma a breeze. And I think I know a thing or two about breezes because I'm a weatherman. You know, Papa Brio's pizza is so good, it's like a storm of flavor inside your mouth. And I should know, I'm a weatherman. Don't let IBS rain on your parade. Visit the Greater Orlando Intestinal Clinic. And I should know, because I'm a weatherman.
You know, Chuck went from not being famous to being super famous overnight. And he didn't really know how to cash in. So that's kind of where I stepped up my game.
Daniel immediately took on several roles in his brother's life.
I was his personal assistant, professional manager, business manager, commercial agent. You know, in some manner of speaking, I guess I was kind of pulling the strings.
In these new roles, Daniel had access to Chuck's finances, including things like bank accounts and insurance plans.
That's what a business manager does. You know, and but plus, I was his twin, so I could walk into the bank, use his ID, and we always used the same PIN number, 3826, Evan. No big deal.
Daniel says he never improperly handled Chuck's money. But with Chuck's newfound fame, Daniel was cashing in his own familiar way.
No, wait a minute. I didn't need his cash. Well, I was getting plenty of free stuff just because I looked like him. You know, free karate lessons, hot air balloon rides, free trips on cruise boats. You know, I mean, it was endless.
Despite Chuck's success and the fact that Daniel was invited to be a part of it, Daniel couldn't resist getting up to his old pranks. The twin mischief that began in grade school with the boys swapping identities reemerged once again.
Yeah, I kind of remember now. It was a ribbon-cutting ceremony for a local grocery store opening. I had booked Chuck to do that. I guess at the same time he was meant to be on air doing a weather report. I don't remember how it happened, but needless to say, I told Chuck, do the ribbon-cutting ceremony, and I'll go do the weather report.
Over now to Chuck Bronstadt with the weather. How's it looking out there, Chuck?
Well, thank you so much, Amelia, and it looks as though you may have had your eyebrows tweezed. They look great.
Thank you.
So thank you. The weather is, it is all around us right now, certainly in St. Petersburg it is, because it's a windy SOB in St. Pete's today.
It was easy. You know, I don't even know the first thing about a barometer or what even that means.
Sunny will be Tampa Bay today and tomorrow with rain in Titusville.
Titusville.
Yes, Titusville, excuse me.
And the other thing I have to tell you is, at the end of the day, Floridians only care about one thing. Is it dune buggy weather or is it not? So
clear water, look out tomorrow. It's going to be kind of an eggy, what's the word, Amelia?
I am not sure, Chuck. I don't know what eggy means. I'm not sure anybody does.
Oh, like it's that thick, you know, when you can't see it, it's
fog?
Like, it's foggy.
People honestly couldn't tell if it was Chuck or me.
We all knew when Daniel did the weather. I mean, of course, everyone in that newsroom knew.
And Gainesville, look out, because there's salmonella.
I'm sorry? I guess there were people at home that were being fooled into thinking it was Chuck, but, he kept doing it.
Thank you, Chuck Brunstad, for that very interesting weather report today. And we're going to head over to...
Some guy said it looked like a dog's penis. It's the mic is on?
Eventually, Daniel booked too many endorsements for Chuck, and he didn't have time to do them all. So Daniel ended up shooting some of those TV commercials.
I'm Chuck Bronstad, the weatherman. Orlando Bath Fitters will put one of these metal bars in your bathtub so you can soak those old bones with no worries about immobility.
It's hard to watch. Not just the ads, all of it.
State-of-the-art metal bars are so durable. Check this out. Look how many times I can kick this thing, and it still won't come off the wall.
I find Daniel's actions during this time to be really troubling. A man in his late 30s, pretending to be his twin brother, and without any hesitation.
I hate to interrupt you there, Chuck, but actually, that's not Sarasota.
I'm pretty sure, Amelia, that's Sarasota right there.
He doesn't stop to consider whether this is wrong. There's an element of self-sabotage to it. It's like he's forcing Chuck to come crashing down.
Well, what are you saying? This is Naples?
Yes, Chuck.
He had just acted responsibly. He could have shared in Chuck's success for years to come. But more than that, it's childish. He's like a kid pretending to be a grown-up, putting on dad's tie and carrying his briefcase. Except the grown-up he's pretending to be is his own age.
Yeah, the ads got really bad, and they affected Chuck's ability to do the weather. Chuck had this terrible contract with a local sandwich shop, and it said Chuck couldn't be seen eating any of their competitors' sandwiches or even saying the competitor's name. And guess who their competitor was? I'm actually going to give you space to guess. Whatever you said wrong. The name was Thunder Sub. Thunder Sub! Now, can you imagine trying to do the weather without saying thunder? Because it's going to come up.
Now, down in Kissimmee, we could even see some lightning. And that, of course, will be accompanied by that bang-bang sound. That we recognize when we... In Winter Park, we've just received reports that there is a rumble storm moving in. So you're going to want to grab your umbrella if you're going outside in that rumble storm, which will be...
The last straw was when Daniel completely fabricated a story about a hurricane live on air.
58 degrees. And what else can I tell you? Tomorrow there's going to be a hurricane. So... get ready for that. It's Hurricane Beverly.
I don't see anything about a hurricane on the wire.
Yeah, it just happened. It's come up from Antarctica, and it's pushing pretty hard at the bottom of us.
Oh, we got a big fine from the FCC for that. That was rough. Daniel, he was permanently banned from the station. I mean, he's lucky he didn't get Chuck fired, you know. But... we couldn't let Chuck go. That guy was the best.
I don't know how Chuck reacted to the incident. He never spoke about it publicly, except for an on-air apology.
Again, folks, I really am sorry about that whole hurricane snafu yesterday. I honestly don't know what got into me, but I do know what will be getting into me tonight, and that's Jack Johnson. And I hope he gets into you, too, because, of course, I will be going...
Whatever Chuck's true feelings on the matter, they weren't enough for him to kick his brother out. And I can't figure out why. Did he feel sorry for his brother? Or did they share a deep kind of loyalty that us non-twins just can't understand? Maybe he was afraid of being all alone again. Or was there something else? Maybe Daniel knew something about Chuck that Chuck was afraid would ruin his career. Whatever it was, they remain roommates and business partners, even though something much more damaging was looming on the horizon. Daniel was about to blow his brother's big break.
It was December 2006, and, you know, Chuck was so busy. You know, between the broadcasts, Christmas parties, endorsements over the holidays, you know, he was wiped.
It was during this time that Daniel got a call about Chuck from the head of Network News in New York.
Well, we had gotten a call from Wake Up America, and they pretty much told me that Chuck was their guy to be their national weatherman. And it was all about some screen test audition thing that was more or less a formality, but it meant Chuck had to go to New York to audition. So I knew how exhausted Chuck was. I thought I'd make his life a little bit easier, and I would go to New York and do the screen test for him.
So wait, sorry, Daniel. So yeah. After all this stuff with the hurricane and the commercials, you did this without Chuck knowing, and you didn't think he'd be mad about it?
Of course it wasn't going to be. No, he's not going to be mad. I was going to go up there, bang it out in New York, shake a few hands, and come back and say, guess what, Chuck? Great news. You got the gig. And, you know, he'd be very happy about that.
But you didn't get the gig.
No.
Chuck Bronstad, screen test, Wake Up America, take one.
You've actually probably seen video of the audition before. It became a bit of a viral sensation.
Okay, Chuck, if you could just take us through a national report, that would be great.
Do you want me to do this now?
Yes.
Okay, so, and this, in front of the, this is the map?
Yes.
It's, wow. You know what? I actually thought it went pretty well.
It did not go well. The audition was a complete disaster. Daniel was disoriented by the map of the entire country.
See, this is backwards. I would be on the other side. There's Florida, and it's...
He stumbles and stammers.
For the remainder of the day, it'll be partly cloudy. Partly cloudy.
He keeps dropping his wand because his hands are so sweaty.
Now, let me just try to... Oh, God damn it, this pointer's slickery. Whoever the last fatso was with this thing really sweated it up.
He hyperventilates at one point.
Still a little out of breath. I'm a little out of breath from saying Wisconsin.
I'm not even sure what he's doing here.
Montana, sunshine. North Dakota, showers. Minnesota, partly cloudy. Illinoisy, hail. Now let's move back and do the next row of states. Oregon,
although the audition was held in secret, word spread immediately that Chuck blew his chance with the network.
I'm not kidding you. I'm sweating like a motherfucker.
Okay, thanks so much. Thanks so much.
Chuck could have had a very comfortable career in Orlando forever, but everybody knew he was destined for bigger things. He was a shoo-in for this Wake Up America job. It was his. And boy, when he didn't get it, it was a real blow. Not only to him, but to us. I mean, we were very sad for him. Really, he just wasn't the same after that.
This is the fourth day of rain in Orlando, and... Man, sometimes you just feel like the weather's the same as your mood inside, you know? It gets in your head. And I think it's probably the gray. And it's not going to break up today.
On air, Chuck was completely devoid of emotion. But privately, almost everyone I spoke to says he was furious. Daniel cost him this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and ruined every bit of his credibility. They had a big fight, and Chuck threw him out for good.
Chuck never threw me out. You know, I remember coming back from New York, and Chuck being there with his arms outstretched, giving me one of his world-class Chuck hugs, and he said, you know, brother, you know, that was crazy in New York, you know, and whatnot, but I forgive you. I love you. And now let's go inside, and we'll cut into the turkey. Because it was Christmas, and it was our last Christmas together. It was a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
And a few weeks later, Chuck was dead.
It's my brother. I think he's dead.
Okay, please calm down.
When Chuck passed away peacefully in his sleep, with his head sort of pressed deep inside that waterbed mattress. I took great comfort in knowing that when we parted ways, we were on good terms. And I can tell that you want me to say that there was friction between Chuck and I, but there wasn't. For us, it was no friction. It was more lube-like. You know, we were lubed with each other. And sorry if that ruins your podcast, that I'm not telling you I killed Chuck, because that's just not what happened. But I might know who did. Because over the last few years, I've come up with some pretty compelling theories. And maybe, Gwen, if you're nice enough, I might share them with you.
Next time on This Sounds Serious, who killed Chuck Bronstadt?
If you are sailing today, well, now Tanner Austin's on the set. Get up, Tanner, get off the set. What are you doing?
That boy was jealous and he was angry.
There's a lot of Mondo members still out there, and I could see them coming for Daniel.
The Flesh Boys kept going, but I got royally screwed by those brothers.
Yeah, we would get calls sometimes at 3 in the morning. One time they mailed us a finger.
This Sounds Serious is a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest-growing, highest-rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can listen to This Sounds Serious wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.